just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
Thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Also, shout outs to Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group for their continuing support of what we do as well. This is season 7. This is episode 34 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast as we look ahead to Sunday and Monday action in week 3 as it relates to fantasy football with some fantasy and non-fantasy comments tossed in as an unsolicited bonus. You can always email me your personal fantasy questions at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Also, I want to thank Gil Alexander and the fine people at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, for not only having me on to promote my podcast and talk fantasy football earlier this week, but then they posted the segment, the entire segment on YouTube. So I'm not saying we hit the big time, but we're on YouTube for a week. Please check it out. I retweeted it on my Twitter account. You can find it there, at ToddWright2121. So please click on it, give it a look. Might have been a dry run. See how many people were actually going to view it. And based on the results, feels like Amazon's NFL numbers for week 2, they might ask me to do, well, I'm going to be on the show again, but could we get on YouTube again? So every click on YouTube for my VSiN segment wouldn't hurt. And again, you can find it. You can easily get to it via my Twitter page where I mention it and retweeted it at ToddWright2121 on Twitter. Before we go game by game, although I guess I can do it this way. Yeah, I can do it this way. I didn't use the totals in previous weeks when talking about fantasy options in each game. I'm offering a modest apology. It doesn't hurt. You take in as much information as you possibly can. And if Vegas is saying we expect a high-scoring game, like something 50 or higher, that means their smart people expect more touchdowns to be scored, and that's potentially more fantasy points for all of us. Same with a low number, anything in the 30s. You're like, eh. So if you're, you know, on the fence on whether you start a player or not, if the Vegas total is 40 or lower, then you're like, well, there might not be a lot of points in this game, so maybe I go somewhere else. All right, so recording this a little before lunchtime on Thursday. By the time you hear this, you may have updated injury information or other things. Please always factor that in before you just automatically call me stupid. I'll own when I'm stupid. Trust me, I'll own it. But if I record something, and then by the time you listen to it, something else has happened or become newsworthy, I'm not stupid. You're smart for knowing that news. But at the time I recorded what you're listening to, I didn't know that. It hadn't happened yet. Yes, I have Gray Sports Almanac, true story, but I don't use it for these segments. Thank you for the handful of people who understand the Gray Sports Almanac reference from my favorite movie. So we'll ignore the Thursday night game, which incidentally, one of the lowest total on the board for week 3 NFL. I'm ignoring Pittsburgh-Cleveland because I'm pretty sure by the time you listen to this, that game will have already been played. I have had some fun suggestions from friends of mine who say if you're going to continue to cut a podcast prior to the Thursday night game and ignore it, you should make up what happened in the Thursday night game, kind of like a fortune teller, speaking of the Gray Sports Almanac. And if it hits, you're going to look brilliant. And if it doesn't, we know it's a joke. Maybe next week. Let's just get to the action on Sunday, and we're back down to one game on Monday. By the way, if you didn't like the overlapping two games across ESPN and ABC and the split screens and all that from last week, you're going to deal with that three times next year. Yeah. Three times next year, you're going to get something like that on Monday night. Let's start with the early games on Sunday. Kansas City and Indianapolis. This is a 50-plus total. So there is a Vegas expectation of fantasy points here. I think it's an important game for Juju Smith-Schuster. I am not playing him, but I'd like to see something from him to show that he's significant in the Charger wide receiver core. It has been almost exclusively Mahomes, Kelce in week one, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is off to a good start this season. From the Colts standpoint, Michael Pittman didn't play last week, and the bottom fell out of the Colts at the Jaguars. Many blame Matt Ryan. I'm not. I think it just showcases, that the Jaguars were very prepared defensively for a team that had to feature Jonathan Taylor, and they were able to basically take the ball out of his hands and not let him dominate the game. And without Michael Pittman, no other Colts pass catcher was significant. You would have thought Nyheim Hines might have had a role there, but that didn't happen either. So check status on Pittman. He clearly is very important to the fortunes of the Colts and in a way connected to Jonathan Taylor. So if you own Taylor, you want Pittman out there even if you don't own Pittman. But other than that, there doesn't look like, even in a 50-plus point game, much that would excite you from the Colts standpoint. I hear that Pittman will likely go, but keep checking status there leading up to game time. Ravens at Patriots. Ravens, of course, put up a big number. It wasn't enough against the Dolphins last week. Ravens at Patriots. Check status on J.K. Dobbins. I guess he might make his 2022 debut at running back. Every other Raven running back to this point you can cut. For those of you that invested in Dobbins, you might actually get him to play this week, so you know what you got. I'm not sure it's that great. It can't be any worse than what any other Ravens running back has done to this point, because Lamar is doing most of the running. Mark Andrews has been okay. A lot of big plays involving Duvernay and Bateman. You like that, but is that sustainable? The strongest fantasy plays are still just Lamar and Mark Andrews for Baltimore. But if Dobbins is active and you invested, I don't know, a third, fourth, fifth round draft pick in him, you got to play him this week. New England Patriots, it's still just Damian Harris. I don't know that you can use Ramondre yet. He doesn't have that A.J. Dillon shared usage, that Kareem Hunt two shared usage. Damian Harris did score a rushing touchdown last week. Don't go overboard on Nelson Aguilar and what he did last week against the Steelers. I don't think you can start anyone fantasy-wise from the Patriot family of quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends. Texans, Bears, this opened at 39 and it went up. This is an appropriate Lovie Smith. I was going to say Memorial game, but Lovie's not dead. His career, I think, is dead. But yeah, this has got Lovie Smith written all over it. Texans and Bears. I think other than David Montgomery, there's nothing playable here. And Montgomery will probably get you, I don't know, 15 to 18 touches. I'm guessing yardage. Tandem yards, 80 to 100 might get you in the end zone. That's all I see in this game, other than if you're surviving on a flex play or a wide receiver three play with Brandon Cooks, he'll probably get his, I don't know, 5 for 65 to 80. But there's not a lot going in Texans Bears. The best guy might be Fairbairn, other than Montgomery. Raiders at Titans. I'm keeping an eye on the Titans situation because they lose this one, the heat really gets turned up on the quarterback, the head coach, the coordinators, everything. Total is mid-40s. From the Raiders' standpoint, Davante Adams is a play. Josh Jacobs is a RB2 type play, but doesn't seem to be finding the end zone. Darren Waller's, you know, still one of those top four or five tight end plays. Got in the end zone last week in a game where they blew the big lead. Renfro had two fumbles in overtime, one that ended up costing them the game. The hit from Isaiah Simmons was very clean. It was violent. Renfro fighting a concussion. I don't know if he's going to play. I own him. I don't plan to play him anyway. I'm off the first couple of weeks. I need to see more. From the Titans standpoint, you got one player to play, and that's Derrick Henry, and I would expect him to touch the ball about 25 times minimum. Bills at Dolphins. This has some fantasy points in it. Vegas agrees. I see it at a 50-plus point total. From the Bills' standpoint, keep checking status on Gabriel Davis. If he's active, you want to play him to go with Diggs, to go with Josh Allen. I don't know that you can play any Bills running backs right now, but you do play the Bills kicker and Tyler Bass for sure. From Miami standpoint, speaking of kickers, you can play the Miami kicker. Tyreek Hill, enormous game. Jaylen Waddle, two great games. Great. Two very good to great games in a row from a fantasy standpoint. I would imagine some picked up Tua on waivers this past week. Maybe if you lost Trey Lance, you didn't pick up Jimmy G. Maybe you picked up Tua. Going to be tough against the Bills defense. I don't know about this total. That feels high to me. Like, the Bills have been so good, and you go to Miami, and Miami looked amazing last week. These two teams could cause problems for each other. I still think there are fantasy points out there, but they aren't coming from the Dolphins running game. Tyreek Hill can't get that wide open twice 2 weeks in a row. So, on an aside, I'd probably play the under in this game. But the ball is going to be in the air a lot, since neither team has a fantasy-worthy running back right now. Okay, let's move on. Sorry, I went down the wormhole of, do I play the under in this game? Lions-Vikings, 1 o'clock game on Sunday. This total is actually as or higher. Wow. Than Bills-Dolphins. So let's look at it. Expect a bounce back from Justin Jefferson. Darius Slay was phenomenal in coverage on Jefferson last week, and Kirk Cousins was his typical primetime shitty self. So yes, you're playing Jefferson, you're playing Cook. Those are the only two things that get me really excited about the Vikings. I just don't know that Thielen's an every week play anymore until he, you know, starts getting in the end zone like he used to. And I worry he's going to get, you know, clock's ticking on when he gets hurt again. That's been the case the last couple years. Lions standpoint, a lot of running the ball week one for fantasy points, a lot of throwing the ball week two. So it's somewhere in the middle. But yeah, you're playing Swift. You're playing Amon-Ra, St. Brown, two excellent fantasy plays right now. Amon-Ra a better play than Swift, but you're not benching Swift. Bengals at Jets. Bengals will get it figured out. if anyone in your league is down on Joe Mixon, trade for him. I think you can buy him low if the owner isn't smart and is worried about the Bengal offensive line and all this. Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow will get this all figured out. This feels like a get-right spot against the Jets, who had that unlikely win last week. Good things don't happen in succession for the New York Jets. From the Jets' standpoint, I will say one thing, and you know how anti-Jets I am in fantasy. Rookie Garrett Wilson is seeing a lot of activity. I sensed he was picked up a lot on waivers in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you're playing him yet, but when you're looking for guys that touch the ball a lot, Wilson right now is a candidate for someone to touch the ball enough to get our attention. Eagles at Washington. This was a 50 total when it opened and has dropped 2.5 points to 47.5. Eagles, your fantasy plays are Jalen Hurts. You're playing Miles Sanders. He's touched the ball the same amount of times as Cordarrelle Patterson, and he has a rushing touchdown. And of course, A.J. Brown. You can get by with Dallas Goedert. I still don't think he's a top five tight end, and in my wide receiver tight end flex leagues, I still don't think Goedert is that good of a play. From the Washington standpoint, three pass catchers in play here: McScorin, Samuel, who also gets you some rushing attempts, and one out of every two times Dotson catches the ball, it's in the end zone, either for a touchdown or a two-point conversion. I think those who overvalue Carson Wentz suddenly as a QB1 in fantasy, that ends this week against Darius Slay and the Eagles defense. And sure, you can get away with Antonio Gibson, but you're not going to get a heck of a lot. Saints and Panthers. Jameis is playing hurt. Michael Thomas stands out here more than any other Saint. And keep checking status on Kamara, but you know I've been down on Kamara even before fantasy drafts. Michael Thomas seems like the guy. Maybe he can stay healthy. Maybe he still has it. Even without Sean Payton, even without Drew Brees. He's been very good the first couple of weeks. For Carolina, McCaffrey's getting a decent touch count. So for those of you that drafted him in the first round, he's got you double-digit points the first 2 weeks. You wish it was more, but it could be worse on a Matt Rhule team that loses one possession games or one score games like Scott Frost did at Nebraska. Let's move to the late afternoon window. Jaguars at Chargers. This opened as a 50-plus point game and has dropped simply because this game to me is all about two things. How healthy is Justin Herbert, and does it affect his ability to play at 100% and do the things Justin Herbert does? And can the Charger run defense, which looks like it needs some coaching, stop James Robinson? That will determine the game. So Robinson is definitely a play. Can Christian Kirk do it 3 weeks in a row? I'm going to say no, just based on past history, but I'm keeping an eye on it. From the Chargers standpoint, check status on Keenan Allen. If Keenan Allen is active, you play him with Mike Williams. If Keenan Allen isn't, you might be able to get away with Josh Palmer. But there are better options out there. Palmer had sort of a garbage time touchdown and just doesn't look like he's on the same page with Herbert yet. Palmer got a lot of buzz leading up to fantasy drafts, and so far he's been less than okay. Packers at Buccaneers. The drop in this total is something you don't often see. So when this game opened – like for bettors week two NFL. So they can bet the week two games and the week three games. So after the week one games ended, so you're going back like 10, 11 days, it opened at 52. Since then, it's dropped over 10 points. You know why? Because Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady don't have anyone to throw to. That's why. This game is about Fournette, Jones, and Dylan. Now, they can catch passes as well. Mike Evans is not playing. So when you think of Packers and Bucks in recent years, right, you think of Devontae Adams, you think of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and none of them may be on the field in this game. Adams is in Las Vegas, Evans is suspended, and Godwin probably going to miss this game, still hurt with a hamstring. So fantasy-wise, you play the three running backs. You invested in the two starting quarterbacks. I've talked about this in the Bucks Bulletin edition. There's nothing you can count on from a wide receiver or a tight end in this game. Rams at Cardinals. Opened above 50, dropped a little before below 50. The plays here are both quarterbacks, Cooper Kupp. Keep checking status on James Conner. If Conner doesn't play, I think you can get away with Williams as a plug-and-play running back who might get you 10 touches and a red zone carry or two. And from the Rams standpoint, Akers and Robinson were more involved last week. So you can play them. Again, I'd rather have Daryl Henderson in my lineup than Cam Akers. But Akers and Henderson were, I'm sorry, and Robinson were involved last week. And both kickers are should be involved there. So please get Matt Prater. I mean, I cut him this week, but poor Matt Prater. I mean, is something wrong with him? He hasn't kicked a field goal this year. Falcons, Seahawks. This total seems low to me. Although Seattle is at home. 41-ish, 42 seems low. Cordarrelle Patterson's going to touch the ball 15-plus times. Drake London is someone Marcus Mariota likes throwing to. I know many of you picked up Mariota. I don't know if you're playing him this week. If you lost Trey Lance and Mariota's your guy, I get that. From Seattle's standpoint, you're playing DK Metcalf, and I may play Lockett this week. I might play Lockett this week off his volume last week and the fact that they're playing the Falcons. Niners at Broncos is the Sunday night game with Jimmy G back at quarterback, who, dare I say, is a serviceable starter. You know, if you just went from Trey Lance to Jimmy G, I hope it works out as well as it's probably going to work out for the 49ers themselves. But this also means Debo is going to continue to run the ball. Jeff Wilson's going to continue to run the ball. I'm not an Ayuk fan. You guys know that. Keep checking status on Kittle. It will help Jimmy G if Kittle is out there. From Denver's standpoint, keep checking status on Jerry Jeudy, who had a good week one. Then Cortland Sutton, I think, had the good week two. Javonte Williams is still out touching Melvin Gordon. And those who drafted Russell Wilson are already expressing to me their frustration with Russell Wilson. Anyone who's ever owned Russell Wilson the last 5 to 6 years in fantasy feels the same thing. That there should be more there from Russell Wilson from a fantasy standpoint, and there's not. And then the Monday game is Cowboys-Giants. I mean, I'm not touching any of the Cowboys. If you have CeeDee Lamb, good luck. Dalton Schultz is sitting this one out. It's another Cooper Rush game. I guess you can play Tony Pollard. and just hope for the best. He was very involved in the win against Cincinnati. So was Noah Brown. There's some talk Michael Gallup could go. And I can't endorse a Noah Brown plug and play. I just can't. From the Giants' standpoint, it's still one guy. It's Saquon Barkley. I saw some buzz this week about Evan Engram. Yeah, that's for those of you in outdated mandatory tight end leagues. Saquon Barkley is the only Giant worth playing. And we'll see if Micah Parsons and Dan Quinn have a real plan for him or not. I sense, wow, Cowboys-Giants almost dropped double digits in total. Went from 48 to under 40. Yeah, that could be a real stinker of a game on Monday night. Like, I don't know, 16-9 comes to mind. Something awful like that. 16-10 with Cowboys and Giants. Not a lot of fantasy points out there if Saquon Barkley and Tony Pollard are not heavily involved. Email write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening to Season 7, Episode 34 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters.